Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
3 years ago, Maine lawmakers wanted to put the state at the cutting edge of a national juvenile justice movement. The legislation would have closed the last youth prison and built a community-based system that focused on rehabilitating teens. But Governor Janet Mills vetoed the bill because of her concerns about public safety. Since then, the state hasn't developed a comprehensive plan, and problems with juveniles have persisted. Callie Ferguson has been investigating this issue. She's a New York Times reporting fellow and reporter for the Bangor Daily News, and she joins me now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So could you just start out by telling us what's been happening over the past several years with Maine's juvenile justice system?
Sure. So Maine has dramatically reduced its youth prison population over the last decade or so. And in fact, the purpose of Maine's juvenile justice system is about rehabilitating youth at home when possible, so long as it's safe. Maine only has one youth prison left. It's known as Long Creek, and some people want to shut it down entirely. That's based on a lot of research that shows that traditional prisons like Long Creek aren't as effective at protecting public safety as other kinds of rehabilitative intervention, and Long Creek itself has had chronic problems with staffing and riots.
So what do advocates think is causing those problems?
So here's the thing. When you move away from a prison-based approach to juvenile crime, you really need a robust array of other kinds of prevention and intervention services in the community that hold accountable and support those teens another way. And fixing this issue is complex. Maine is different than a lot of states, most states, in fact, like Massachusetts, where the juvenile justice system is under the state agency that also oversees those other services. In Maine, the corrections department runs the juvenile justice system, but other state agencies are largely in charge of programs for at-risk youth.
And with these lack of services, where are police and parents sending their kids who are violent or in need of help?
Increasingly, emergency rooms at Maine hospitals are these de facto holding tanks for some teens in crisis. Some will end up there for days, even weeks, because their families are afraid to take them home. I spoke to staff at a small hospital that's had to create a locked three-room unit in recent months because they've seen just an increase in younger patients with high levels of aggression, some of whom required sedation or physical restraints. Here's what Dr. Neer Harish, a physician at Penn Bay Medical Center near Rockland, had to say.
And now I feel like I'm running a correctional facility, which is not something I'm trained for.
Neer worries these prolonged stays only add to kids' trauma. The rooms are windowless. There's no way for the hospital to even let them go outside. This is a small hospital, so there isn't even an adolescent psychiatrist on staff that can provide some kind of treatment in the meantime.
We know that we haven't solved anything. We know they'll be back. That we're just putting a Band-Aid on it and hoping for the best.
You can definitely hear the frustration in his voice.
Yeah, and Rockland has seen a surge in juvenile crimes in the last few years, mostly involving youth in some kind of distress.
Can you go into that a little bit more? Like, what crimes are we talking about?
Sure. I talked to a pair of teens who started getting into trouble after being kicked out of school, and this is them chatting.
Like, just doing a bunch of drugs, yeah. Like, just stealing everything we could think of.
Yeah.
Cars, motorcycles.
Well, yeah, but we'd walk down the street, we'd see, like, a four-wheeler or something.
That's Timmy and Harry. They were both 16 at the time. We're only using their first names at their parents' request.
We were bored, and we were always, like, just, like, nobodies, and then that kind of made us feel like a somebody.
In Timmy's case, he was also stealing to support a drug habit, and this pattern emerged where the local cops would charge one of them or both of them with a crime, mostly misdemeanors, and then it would be up to the Department of Corrections to decide, you know, if either of them posed enough of a safety risk that they needed to go to Long Creek, which under the law, they didn't, so they'd be released and issued a date to appear in court down the road, and in the meantime, they would just keep getting into trouble.
I was thinking, oh, you know, I'm getting all these charges and nothing's happening. I'll be fine.
Rockland Chief of Police Tim Carroll says his officers got frustrated encountering the same teens over and over.
Once we take the kids into custody, it's a matter of paperwork and they're back out and they're laughing on their way out the door.
Chief Carroll, he worries about how to put an end to chronic lawbreaking and worry these kids aren't getting the help they need.
And what is the state and the governor, what are they trying to do about it?
Governor Mills declined to do an interview with me, but in a statement, a spokesman said that the governor has invested in these kinds of programs like restorative justice, mentorship, behavioral health, but acknowledges that a lot more work needs to be done. There have been some lawmakers that have continued to propose reforms, but there isn't as much energy around this topic as a few years ago. I want to emphasize that what Maine has done in reducing its incarcerated population is a huge feat. The state just has a lot of unfinished business with creating more alternatives.
Callie Ferguson is a reporter with the Bangor Daily News and a New York Times reporting fellow. Thank you very much.
Thanks.